Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody watching with us today. I got an important message I'm giving today. It's called Mentoring for the Kingdom of Yahweh. Mentoring for the Kingdom of Yahweh. And it's kind of going to be like an introduction to mentoring, because I really, over the last, I don't know how many months, I've really felt inspired by Yahweh that we need to officially get some kind of mentoring program in the congregation. You know, of course, we do mentoring. We've always done mentoring, but in a more organized way, and to teach. And actually, I'm putting a brand new course together for the Bible school only on mentoring, because it's for everybody. Like I was saying at the African conference in November, men, women, you know, youth leaders, everyone can mentor. And the ones that aren't at that point of mentoring yet should be being mentored. And we all can be mentored. We all need mentoring. So it's really, really important. And like it says, the harvest is ready and the workers are few. So this is an extremely important subject. And again, I'm just going to go into an introduction today to show you, because, you know, there's certain topics in the Bible, just even like the purpose of man that I did with Adam, where you won't find a chapter, you know, although Genesis 1 is a lot on it, but you won't find one specific chapter just on the purpose of man, or even that name, or even mentoring. You know, if you looked in a concordance, you probably won't find the word mentoring, you know, in any Bible translation, but it's all over the place. It's one of those things where it's everywhere and you really don't think about it. So that's why I said it's going to be a brand new course. And on that course, I'll be actually myself be mentoring people there at the school. And in the world we live in today, it's so important, because I always say this, you got to realize the kingdom is bigger than you. And what I find is that a lot of times, brethren, even when they're making ministry goals, it's like, I look at like Jehovah Witnesses, you know, and Jehovah Witnesses, you know, you become a, you know, when you're going out 12 hours a week, you're a junior Weebo, and then you go out 15 hours and you're, a top Weebo or whatever it is. And basically, it's like they're filling out these time cards for nothing, you know, like just to put them in. And I had a friend that was a Jehovah Witness, and he admitted to me, like, you know, that they would go for lunch and take extra time because they can put it on their card or whatever. And it's like, this is all nonsense. Yahweh sees we either want to bear real fruit for the kingdom or we don't. And there's nothing greater of bearing fruit than mentoring, as I'm going to show you today. Because like I said, you got to realize the kingdom is bigger than you. So you don't want to just have a ministry to make you feel good about yourself, you know, or to make you feel like you're accomplishing something, you know, where you make 100 tracks and, you know, you want to put them out. So you're going to go and put them out. So you put 99 in a diner and then you put one in a bus stop and you think, oh, I did my work today. No, that's not your work today. The work is going out and meeting people. It's handing them. Not to say you can't put some in diners and those things. But what I'm saying is you got to make it bigger than you. It's got to be for actually bearing fruit, not just making you feel good about yourself. So making disciples, it's the number one goal for a believer, you know, that wants to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, because that's what it's all about. And like I say in my discipleship course that I do at the Bible school, if you look, you know, because when people, new people join the congregation, they're continuously asking me, what do we call ourselves? You know, what is our name? And I say the word Christian, it is in the Bible. People don't like to use it because what Christians mean today, but it is there three times. A Christian today was not the same as one 2,000 years ago. The word believer is there twice. People of the way is there once. But over 250 times in Scripture is the word disciple, right? And the disciple, by definition, is one that disciples others. That's the whole point of being a disciple. So, and like I said, everybody can do it. Everybody, men, women, you know, youth leaders, everybody should either be mentoring or being mentored. So let's start in Matthew 28. In verse 18, because it's actually the Great Commission, is to mentor. Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, and coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me, and as my Father sent me, I sent you. Then having gone, disciple, mentor all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age, right? So Yeshua is the ultimate mentor. And he's mentoring us, and Yahweh's mentoring us through his word, right? But we need to, you know, be out there mentoring others. So our whole commission is to mentor and make new disciples. Mentoring plays a crucial role in our spiritual journey as it enriches our understanding and application of our faith, right? It really helps each other to understand it. Yahweh calls us to guide one another in love, share wisdom, and encourage growth in our faith in Yeshua. As we engage in relationships that cultivate trust and support, we reflect the very nature of Elohim, who is the ultimate mentor, like I said. By mentoring others and seeking mentorship ourselves, we learn valuable lessons, we gain strength, and we equip ourselves to carry out Yahweh's mission on the earth. So I'm going to go through some points here today why mentoring is really important. And like I said, this is basically the introduction, in our latest elders conference, like I said, in November. This was basically the theme, was mentorship over there. And I was really, really happy that most of our elders and leaders there really, really grasped it and were running with it. But number one, the first thing about mentorship is building relationships. So like I said, it's not about putting in time. It's not about, you know, getting a certain amount of people that you talk to. It's not about that. It's about building relationships. So where, and I say the difference, there's ministries of encouragement and we can all encourage, but the difference of a ministry of encouragement compared to a ministry of mentoring is really time. And that's why when you're mentoring, you really have to be careful on who you choose to mentor and who wants to be mentored, because you can only mentor so many people because of the time it takes. So mentoring is very different. Encouragement, you know, helps. These things, you could do it with everybody, right? As far as prayer. But when it comes to mentoring, you're limited because of the amount of time, but it is building relationships. So you want to make sure you're choosing somebody, and I go into this in the course, you know, how to pick somebody for mentoring, how to make sure you're picking the right person. We actually have maybe not a whole class, but about a half a class just on that. And we have to realize that our calling is all about building relationships. Yahweh calls us not only to guide, but also to develop true friendships. So as an elder, you know, my job is to guide the brethren. My guide is to teach the brethren. My guide is to counsel the brethren. But, you know, it's also to make friendships. It's also to build relationships. And some of my best friends in the world are other elders in the congregation. So, we have to make sure we're building relationships that are rooted in love, trust, and mutual respect. And mentorship is not about ruling over somebody or controlling somebody. It's about lifting them up. It's about teaching them. So it nurtures growth for both the mentor and the mentee, you know, as you grow in this relationship. And we learn to lean on each other, right? Both people share burdens and celebrate victories together. So and it's a sidestep for it. You're not doing it just to build friendships, because that's not all mentoring is about, but it's a great part of it. Proverbs 27 and 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens his friend's face. So it's about bringing us to another level, right? And one thing that we started doing 2 years ago at the school, for the first time, started having accountability partners, you know, so that's a good part with mentoring, that accountability partner to help people make sure they're going to follow their goals and continue. And if they're having struggles with something, they can get in touch with the accountability partner. The accountability partner can get in touch with them. Hey, how you doing? How you making out? You know, are you achieving what you want to? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So we are, like I said, even though there's no mentoring chapter in the Bible, we're already doing this. I know I've done it my whole life, you know, but now I want to do it to a greater degree. Once we, like I said, by making courses, by making classes, by actually having lessons on this, and by writing it down and having specific goals for mentoring, it's only going to help us to be greater mentors. It's going to help the people out there that maybe want to be mentored and don't know how to do it. They feel uncomfortable maybe going up to someone and asking, but now it'll be where there'll be a formal program in our congregations so people don't have to feel intimidated, you know, if they want to be mentored. And I really believe that this is going to help us in this small opportunity we have now, this open window that we have, that it's going to help us to go to the next step. And the congregation is growing really, really fast. It's amazing, you know, like I said, just about every week I'm getting not just people contacting me, sometimes it is just individual people, but pastors and elders from other congregations, Christian pastors, some of them are even Sabbath keepers or even into the name or whatever, but there's a lot of people wanting to join this work because we're coming toward the end. And Yahweh's word says that, you know, in the end, go to the highways and the byways and call in all the people. And, you know, it's actually one of the prophecies that we're starting to see fulfilled in the time we're living in. And I've said this to the elders, only Yahweh knows how long this open door is going to be there. But I don't believe it's going to be open that long. So number two is leading by example, right? When we embrace the role of a mentor, leading by example is vital. Our actions often speak louder than words. So we have to make sure when we take this role as a mentor, it's a serious position. And it's not something that you could just take lightly as you're starting to mentor someone and then say, you know what, you know, I did it with a good heart, but nah, I'm just too busy now, or I'm overwhelmed, or I can't do it anymore. You know, you just can't do that. And I've been in the faith more than 40 years, and I've been an elder for about 30 of those years. And I could tell you something, there's been several times in my walk where, you know, for different situations, you just want to pack it in or you just want to take time off. And yet I knew I couldn't, you know, because like I said, it's bigger than me. The kingdom is bigger than I am. So my problems and my things or what I'm going through, that's secondary always. What's first is always the kingdom of Yahweh. And I could never let, you know, things that are going on with me personally affect my spiritual life or affect my serving of Yahweh's people. And I haven't. I've never let that happen. And that's why you put borders in your life, that you don't let yourself get past certain points. That's why the neural association teachings are so important. You know, I've never heard it before being taught in a congregation. And it's just so important, because if you want to walk in the spirit, you got to overcome the flesh, and you have to know how to do that. So we want to lead by example. We want to make sure that we have the values that we wish to impart to others, right? And that we're setting a template with our life for people to follow. Living in a Messiah-centered life encourages those who we mentor to solidify their own faith and actions, and reminds us of our responsibility to represent Yeshua authentically in everything we do. And that's the point. Mentorship, it's not a, you know, like a fake, just reading from a paper type thing. It's building a relationship, and it's sharing with people from your life experiences and from the things that the Ruach is putting you to help people to overcome and do other things. So this never-ending cycle of influence is what true mentorship is all about. And 1 Corinthians 11:1, right, says, "Be imitators of me as I am also of Messiah." So the Apostle Paul, there's probably no greater example, because of the amount of letters that he wrote, of mentorship than the Apostle Paul. We see other mentorship throughout the Bible in different ways. We see it with all different kinds of people, King David, whatnot. But with the Apostle Paul, we really see a great amount of mentorship. I'm going to be reading quite a few of the scriptures here. Acts 16, because one of the greatest examples of mentorship in scripture is the Apostle Paul and Timothy. And Timothy, here he is, a young disciple, right? And when Paul's writing him, you know, he is ordained later. He had the laying on of hands. He's still a young man when this happens. And Paul is encouraging him. So let's look at Acts 16. And he says, "And he arrived in Derbe in Lystra, and behold," and talking about the Apostle Paul, "and a certain disciple named Timothy was there, the son of a certain believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek." So he has a Jewish mom, a Greek father, and says this one was being testified of by his brothers in Lystra and Iconium. So it seems, and we know this from 1 Timothy, from his mother and his grandmother, you know, that they were believers and they were actually mentoring him too. The way, like I said, the women, the important mentors, to be mentoring their children, be mentoring other women. And it says, Paul desired this one to go forth with him, and taking him, he circumcised him because of the Jews being in those places, whole other story, because it was his father was Greek, and he wanted him circumcised so he wouldn't have a problem traveling with him. No other reason why he circumcised him. For they all knew his father was a Greek, right? And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the need to keep the decrees that had been determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem, right? So what are they teaching? Judicial order that they're teaching there. And it says, then indeed the congregations were being made stronger in the faith and increased in number day by day. So mentoring does bring increase, and in a big way. Because you know what? When you're mentoring, you're not only making one disciple that's being mentored, you're making another mentor that can disciple other mentors. So I joke about it in one way, but it's kind of true. You know, Yahweh was the first multi-level marketer. If you've ever heard or been involved in multi-level marketing, what is it? You go out and you sign somebody up and they're in your downline, and then they sign somebody else up, and you might have 10 people in your downline but you could have 1,000 from the other ones that signed. So that's the way Yahweh sends the people out, two by two, and you know, bearing fruit. So Yahweh was really the first multi-level marketer in that sense, not necessarily marketing, but as far as, you know, going out two by two and making other disciples and getting fruit from that. So 2 Timothy 2, let's continue here with Timothy as a disciple. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 and 2. Says, Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah by the will of Elohim, according to the promise of life which is in Messiah Yeshua, to my dear beloved son Timothy, grace, mercy, peace from Yahweh the Father and Yeshua Messiah our Master. Wow! So he's even calling him his son, right? Look how close they got through this mentoring relationship. You know, Paul was a great mentor to young Timothy, helped him to be strong in faith. And he helped him to become the person that he became. Because if you read some secular writings, Timothy, after Paul died, wow, he became a strong leader his whole life, you know. And in different areas, you know, in Asia Minor, in these different areas where he was ministering and bearing a lot of fruit. And I'm sure the rest of his life, many, many times he was probably telling stories to the brethren of him when he was younger with the Apostle Paul. You know, it's just a given that that was happening. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but become an example of the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity, right? Wow. Let no one despise your youth. And I remember when I was younger, because as a young person, what do people always tell you? You're too young for that. You're too young for that. And I was in business for myself. You know, I had my first job. I was only about 8 years old when I was delivering newspapers. We lived in the city, you know, and I was doing that. And then, you know, I was doing other things, you know, in business and things at 10 and 12 years old. And even when I was 18 and I was getting into a very, very large business, it was something like Federal Express before Federal Express was there, with my father and my uncle. And we had 30 drivers, you know, doing a lot of work in New York. But what I would always hear from people is, you're too young for that. And I never took that. I'm like, no, I'm not. And even when I became an elder, I was only 30 years old, and people said, oh, you're too young to be an elder. You're not even married. I said, I'm exactly the way Yeshua was, 30 years old and single. You know, that's when I was ordained. But it's funny, you know, like I remember being younger saying, oh, I want to get older so people stop saying that. And boom, you turn around and 30 years went by, and then you wish you can get the younger days back. But it is true, you know, like the expression, why is youth wasted on the young? Because when you're young, you have energy, you have strength, you have all these things, and you don't have the wisdom. And that's where mentoring comes in. That if the youth can get that, if the young leaders in the congregation, the way Timothy was, can get that wisdom from the other elders, and we could put these together, you know, wow, what a great team we're going to have there. So Paul was encouraging Timothy and encouraging him, you know, not to let people put him down for that. Titus 2, 7 and 8 says, holding forth yourself as a pattern of good works about all things in doctrine and purity and sensibleness in corruption. Choose sound words that are instructive so that no man can point the finger at scorn for us, that he of opposition may be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about you. So what do? They take young people, the way the world is today in the system of Satan, and because young people make mistakes because they're young, and they try to bait them into mistakes, and then in the world we live in today, wow, with internet and everything, they can destroy somebody overnight. You know, the internet, and that's why it's so evil, because it's not by coincidence. When the global powers that be, when truth is coming out about something, or a whistleblower, they purposely go out and they get all these influencers, right? And they pay them money to put all this negative stuff out about somebody, and they can destroy your reputation. Like I said, literally within a day. And that's their system. That's the way their system works. And that's why it's important that we use wisdom when we're preaching the good news, and that we use mentoring so that the youth don't fall for these traps that sometimes Satan is trying to set with them. So Philippians 3 and verse 17 says, "Be fellow imitators of me," the Apostle Paul talking, "brothers, and consider those walking this way, even as you have us for a pattern." You have us for a pattern, right? So that's the point. The mentor, it's not about him controlling somebody and just taking someone under his wing to make him feel better. It's about making a pattern so that you can continuously be mentoring people, and they could be mentoring others, and they could be mentoring others. And like I said, that's why I put this, I'm putting this course together. I think it's going to be an awesome course this year at the school. Because I want to have, bring some of the elders there and some of the leaders who can be the leaders in this mentorship program. So I have to mentor them so they know how to mentor others. And like I said, it's not only for elders and leaders, it's for everybody, men, women, everybody, because mentoring is with parents to children. Mentoring is to people who work. Mentoring is for everybody. So it's something that we all need and we all can do. Also, mentoring, the next point is sharing wisdom. And why do challenges and trials in life, this is why challenges and trials in life are so important. Because if we never went through these experiences in our life, how could we help other people, right? It's the same thing of a woman maybe being attacked, right? It's the most horrible thing in the world. A woman is violated, a man is overtaking her and violating her and taking advantage of her, you know, in a bad way. And you have two choices at that point. You could let it destroy your life, and then every day he's violating you by you allowing him to do that. Or reframing it and taking power and saying, not only am I going to make sure this never happens to me again, I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen to other people. So that's the way that we can share wisdom, by using our life experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, to help other people not to have to go through things, and to use wisdom when they are going through things. That's one of the reasons why I've been in the process the past year of writing the miracle book that I'm writing. Yahweh willing, one of my goals is to have it done by Passover. So we will see. I'm about halfway through it, and I'm hoping to finish it this winter. But so that I can share experiences of so many miracles and faith in my own life that Yahweh had, and in our marriage and our family's life, so that we can share with other people. So mentoring is not just about providing support. It also involves actively sharing wisdom that stems from our own life's experiences, right? So this knowledge can help people through challenges, mistakes, and uncertainties in their life journey. So it's a great way for us to be able to help other people and help them to get through certain things they're going through. And like I said, I counsel hundreds of people a year. Many times I'm counseling people for things I never went through. Some of the things, praise Yahweh, I didn't have to go through. And I can have sympathy on them. And I can give them wisdom and I can give them advice. But there's nothing like having empathy. And how do you have empathy? When you went through the same thing. So there's times where maybe I didn't go through something that somebody is, and I'll share, hey, you know, would you like to talk to so-and-so? They actually went through the same thing. They could really help you a lot with it. So that's the point of it. When we go through these challenges and these trials in our own life, we can't be looking at it, you know, like I said, the questions you ask are the answers you're going to get. So you're not going to say, oh, why does this always happen to me, right? It's not the question you want to ask. You want to ask, how can I benefit the kingdom of Yahweh by this experience? You know, how could I be a better believer by overcoming? How can, you know, I overcome and help other people to overcome? Proverbs 5, or Proverbs 1 in verse 5. Proverbs 1 in verse 5 says, "The wise hears and increases learning, and the understanding one gets wise counsel." Right? So that's the point of mentoring. To be a mentee, you have to be open-minded to learn. You have to realize, and I know, believe me, when I came to faith, and I started coming to faith at only 16 years old, is when I started getting flyers about the Sabbath and learning. And it was probably 18 years old when I really made the commitment to come to faith. And I could tell you, as an 18-year-old kid that lived on my own, owned my own house, had my own business, there was nobody that was more independent and prideful than me. But the one thing I knew is I knew I didn't know everything. And one reason why I was successful in business was because I was willing to learn. I never had any inability. Like if there was a business I wanted to get into, even if I knew nothing about the business, I would find somebody who was an expert in that business and make them my partner. So I wasn't afraid to get into something that I didn't know about, but I better have somebody there that does know about it. So I understood mentoring. And when I came into the faith through the Church of God, boy, I loved it. I had an elder that was there that became a really good friend of mine that I was going doing ministerial counseling with him. And I loved going out with him, going to the widows and learning from their life experience at that time. We used to go to widows. Some of them were born in 1890. And to sit there for hours and hear their experiences of life, to hear how when they were growing up, there wasn't even cars, there were horse and buggies. So much of that is instilled in me and stayed with me even now, all these years later. So it's important. Mentoring is really important. And like I said, in those days, those widows were mentoring me, not even knowing it, just by sharing life experiences and helping me with it. The next thing is encouragement through challenges. So mentoring is a great ministry of encouragement, but it goes a step further. Because like I said, we can encourage everybody, but we can't mentor everybody. Because although we do encourage during mentoring, mentoring is, goes past there. It's like I said, it's a much greater commitment because you're literally making yourself part of that person's life. So we all face challenges in life, and as mentors, we have the unique opportunity to offer encouragement during those rough times. Our presence can bring comfort, reminding them that Yahweh is on their side. And even though it sounds simple, a lot of people forget that. Because in the day and age we're living in, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? And I can tell you firsthand, you know, as a leader of the congregation that travels all over the world, probably the least gift, two gifts that I see in the congregation is faith and discernment. Those are the two least gifts that I see there. I am, as time is going on, seeing more discernment by brethren. I love that. The last couple of years, I've really seen people growing in that. And I have also seen people growing in faith. So praise Yahweh for that. And particularly the students that we've had. You know, we had a couple of awesome school years at the program. And praise Yahweh, you know, because I see change in people. I see real change in people. And I see change in myself. Believe it or not, the school year in 224, I think I grew more in faith that year than I did my whole life. So, you know, we as mentors can be encouraging other people, to help people understand, you know, and remind them of Yahweh's promises and the power of perseverance. By providing words of encouragement, we share in the struggles and collectively find strength through faith, building resilience and trust that our hearts can overcome. So that's the key. Sometimes people just need that little bit of encouragement, you know, because they feel they feel the inability to do something, just a little bit of encouragement to get them over the top. And you know who is the greatest encouragement? Is Yahweh, the encourager. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "Do not fear, I am with you." This is Yahweh speaking. "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not gaze about, for I am your Elohim. I will make you strong. Yea, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness," Yeshua. So, wow, there is no greater encouragers in the universe than Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son. So Yahweh is a mentor and an encourager. And 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "The one comforting us," talking about Yahweh again, "the one comforting us in all our affliction, for us to be able to comfort those in every affliction through the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by Elohim." So like I said, you don't pay back, you pay forward. So the fact that Yahweh encourages us in our life, and I know through the the horrible, worst times I went through in my life, Yahweh was there for me, and I want to be there for other people through the horrible, worst times in their life. You don't pay back, you pay forward. So we want to make sure that as Yahweh is comforting us, we are giving that comfort to others. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Romans 15, 5 and 6. It says, and may the Elohim of patience and encouragement give to you the mind, give to you to mind the same thing among one another according to Yeshua Messiah, that with one accord in one mouth you may glorify the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, right? So, wow, that's what we have to pray, that Yahweh will give us that He will give us that comfort and that spirit of encouragement to be able to give to other people. Next is accountability in growth, right? New believers need to be mentored to grow in faith to be able to mentor others. And like I said, 2 years ago at the Bible school, this was the first time that we started putting accountability partners to each other. And to be honest, one of the reasons I think I couldn't do it in the past is most of the time we didn't have a mature enough group. You know, there were many years that we had people that weren't even brethren in the congregation. And for probably the first 10 years of the school, most of what I was teaching was just doctrine. You know, we had people that didn't even understand the sacred name and other things. So when they're at that point, they really can't be an accountability partner because everybody there needed an accountability partner. So I pretty much held as that. But now, as the years have gone by, and Yahweh has blessed the congregation, you know, with more mature brethren, now we really can do it. And it's amazing. It was so wonderful to see the brethren and their accountability partners, and it worked fantastic. And I encourage in life to continue, not just at the Bible school, but all the time, you know, to have accountability partners. Because without accountability, you will never grow or overcome. And that's the point of it. You know, like I tell people, I joke about it, but it's true. Like a lot of times when the school ends and everybody is so zealous and happy and ready to go, and I say sometimes some fall through the black hole, you know, that all of a sudden months will go by and you don't hear from people. You wonder what happened, and then, you know, it'll be 3 or 4 months later, and oh, you know, this happened, my flight was delayed, and then and I got back, I lost my job, and you know, I got sick, and it's like just like wow, you know. So but that accountability partner will help that person to stay on that right track. So Acts 18 and verse 24, we see Priscilla and Aquila were accountability partners. And it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue on every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and pagans, talking about the Apostle Paul. And it says, and when, am I in the right chapter here? No, verse 24, I'm sorry. Same chapter, verse 24. It says, but a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, right? So he was a good speaker, very eloquent, came to Ephesus being powerful in the scriptures. So he was eloquent, he knew the scriptures, but he didn't have total doctrine. This one, having been taught by mouth in the way of the Master, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things about Yeshua, but he only understood the baptism of John, right? He didn't understand. And it says, and this one began to speak boldly in the synagogue. In hearing him, Priscilla and Aquila took him to their home and more accurately expounded the way of Yeshua to him. Wow, that's pretty, Luke was a pretty eloquent speaker too, you know, and writer, the way he puts this. You know, basically they're correcting him because he didn't have the right thing, but they did it in a very, very positive way, very mentoring type way. So here's a husband and wife team working together. You only see, hearing them, you know, you think of sometimes, you know, when you see names like that, you know, like a couple that you never hear their name separately. It's always together, right? Aquila and Priscilla. You know, you don't hear Aquila or just Priscilla. It's Aquila and Priscilla. You hear them together. So that shows the type of team that they are. I had an uncle and an aunt one time that was like that. My aunt Chick and my uncle Frank. And they all, you know, you'd never hear them just say Aunt Chick or Uncle Frank. It was always Chicken Frank. And one time I had a friend over and he said, Chicken Franks? Is that a food? But it happens, right? So Aquila and Priscilla are here, and they're teaching Apollo. They're mentoring him in a better way. The Waldenses. The Waldenses had something called the School of the Barbs, and they used to teach young and new believers truth. And I've actually been in that school. That school is still there today, the stone building that's there. It actually, when I went there the first time to see the Waldenses, that's what inspired me to start the Hayyahad Bible School. You know, Yahweh's Spirit took me there and showed me and said, you need to start a school. So it was really, really great to go there and see that and help new believers learn doctrine and prepare them. And what they used to do is the Waldenses, they used to have a mentor, an older man. He could be an elder or something, not always though, but a more mature person or elder in the congregation. And they would go out with a younger man and they would go out and do that two by two. So the mentee must show humility and have a willingness to learn and grow in faith and discipleship. And that's pretty much discipline, right? Disciple, discipline, the same thing. So mentors are accountability partners, right? And like I said, it takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And there is much fruit and reward, but it really does. It's literally taking a place in a person's life. You know, you're over there taking that that place there, and it takes time. It does take a lot of time. So that's why I say you can encourage everybody, but you can only mentor so many people. And if you try to mentor too many people, it's not going to work good on either way. Because the people you're mentoring, you're not going to be there and have enough time for them. And you're going to be stretching yourself too thin where you don't have enough time for the other things you need to do. So you do have to be selective. And like I said, at the school, we go through about half a class on teaching people how to do that. Because it is a commitment. Ecclesiastes, verse 4 and 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes, verse 4 and 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift his companion. But woe to him, the one that falls, and there is not another to lift him up, right? So, two are better than one. And like I said, a three-quart strand is not quickly broken. So, wow, this would show their strength. And that's why people that are out there on their own, in the Laodicean era, there's more people out on their own than people that are surrendering themselves to a congregation and to Yahweh. But there's really, when you look at the New Testament, there's nothing in the New Testament about that. There's nothing in the New Testament, this whole thing that Christianity tries to teach about, it's about your personal relationship with Yeshua. Of course, we have to have a personal relationship with him, but it's to serve others. That's what it's all about. It's a collective thing. Read Corinthians 12, we're one body, right? You know, but many members. And in the Laodicean era, people have jumped on the bandwagon of this, you know, selective thing of being by themselves. And it has nothing to do. And that's why mentoring is so important in this. Proverbs 12 in verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is like a brute animal. So this is why all of us, we need to have a corrective spirit. We need to be humble. And we need to make sure, like I said, you can only mentor those who want to be mentored, who want to change and grow in the Ruach. Titus 2, 3 and 4. Because like I said, it's not only men, it's also women. And I believe in the day and age we're living in, it's just as important, if not more important, to have women mentors, because we don't have so many in the congregation as we do men. So Titus 2, verse 3 and 4 says, teach the older women likewise to behave as becomes the worship of Elohim, not false accusers, not being enslaved by much wine, but to become teachers of good things, that they might train the young women to be modest, to love their husbands and their children, to be discreet, chaste, good homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of Elohim may not be blasphemed. So, it's really, really important that the women are able to teach the young women, right? And to be modest, because, you know, what you'll notice is, and this is generational thing, every generation, you know, the skirts in the 1940s were a little lower than the 20s, and the 60s were a little lower than the 40s, and the 80s a little lower. And I mean, if time goes on, there's going to be nothing left. But, and today, wow, not in the congregation, but in the world, what people wear, they barely cover themselves. It's actually ridiculous. And I would think if I was a woman, it would be like so hard to do that, to constantly trying to be keeping my skirt down because there's nothing there to cover myself. And that's the world we live in. So that's why you need the older ladies that aren't from that new generation. You know, like I said, if you look at the youth today, you know, that let's say are 20 years old and lower, most of them have no recognition of a world before the internet. They don't remember a world without cell phones. You know, so you need the older ones that do remember the world without that, and to see the wickedness that a lot of this stuff has brought into the world, to be able to warn these people from it. And that's all part of mentoring. And as you mentor, you know, and you become, you know, a mentor to somebody, and they respect you, and they'll follow you. You know, they follow you because they see your example, like we were saying here. So empowering the next generation, right? This is what mentoring is all about. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall diligently teach them to your sons, and shall speak of them as you sit in your house, and as you walk in the way, and as you're lying down, and as you're rising up. So mentoring is, a big part of mentoring is, like I said, empowering the next generation, because from the days of Yeshua and the early apostles, they all thought they were the last generation. Here we are 2,000 years later. And yes, there's a lot of things that show us the time is short, but how short? You know, if our master delayed his coming and Yeshua didn't return for 30 years from now, would we call Yahweh a liar? Of course not. No, it doesn't seem like things could last that long, but who knows? Who knows? What if there are 25 or 30 years left? That means there's another generation that's coming that will literally be that last generation past us. So if we don't mentor these people and we don't train them and we don't give them some form of morality, then where will we be? The children are our future. Must take time, have patience to mentor the young. Psalm 78, 3 and 4 says, those which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their sons to declare to the coming generation the praises of Yahweh. Yea, his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. So if you think about it, you know, in the olden world, when Yahweh first created human beings, they lived to, you know, 800-900 years old. So as generations came and gone, you know, I remember figuring it out one day, from the time that Adam died to the time that Noah was born was almost just a few years. It wasn't even that long, you know. And there you have 10 generations that came there. So, and then even after that, you know, like in Abraham's time, he lived to 175 years old. And now people live to, you know, 70, 80, whatever. But still, you know, it's a thing where the older generation has to teach the younger generation. It's important that they do that. So when you look at our generation here, you know, Malachi 4 and verse 6, it says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to their fathers, that I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction. So the whole Eliyahu ministry is about mentoring. It's about the older men in the congregation teaching the younger men that there's somebody left, that when Yeshua comes, that Yahweh doesn't strike the whole world down, that everyone doesn't die. And yet we know there's going to be very few that make it. The Bible says it. There'll be few men left. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? There's many scriptures that show us probably 95% or more of the people living on this planet right now will not be there when Yeshua returns. So this is why if we're part of this end time Eliyahu ministry, we want to make sure. You know, that's what it's about. It's about the restoration work of Yahweh that all his people are doing, bringing the original doctrine back that was there from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and also restoring relationships, restoring family relationships, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children back to the father. So, and it's not just about imparting knowledge, but it's about listening, right? So if you're going to be a mentor, you really got to learn to be a good listener. We actually have a whole class just on listening, you know, at the Bible school, because it's an art that's been lost in the age of quick texts and, you know, all this stuff going fast on the internet and you know, cell phones and social media and all this other stuff, that people are moving faster than the brain could work. People really don't take the time anymore and ponder. They don't take the time to sit down and think as they're about to say something, to share something with something. Everything is always quick, 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 quick. So if you're going to be a good mentor, you got to learn how to listen. You have to learn how to listen. At the class I do, there's literally five stages of listening, or five different ways of listening. The first not being not listening at all, which some people do. But we want to make sure that we are emphatic listeners, that we learn how to listen. You know, that we learn how to listen. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one turns back a matter before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. If one turns back a matter before, and that happens a lot of times, because we are trained now, as everything goes fast, not to listen, we're not letting someone finish what they're saying. And we're responding before the person finishes what they're speaking. So we have to learn to, you know, bite our tongue, keep our mouth shut, and listen before we speak. Because many times what people are doing unwittingly is inserting foot in mouth. Jacob 1 verse 19 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And that's why we have two ears and one mouth. Because we should be listening twice as much as we are speaking. Proverbs 25 and verse 5. Counsel in a man's heart is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in a man's heart is like deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out, right? So there's times where you could be talking with someone and you see that something's wrong. And it's like, hey, is anything wrong there? No, nothing's wrong. Okay, let's just continue. No. Like it says here, counsel in a man's heart is deep water, and a man of understanding will draw it out. So counsel is deep water. It's not just like if something was happening, if somebody is in a trial, if they're having some kind of really serious thing, and maybe they're even embarrassed about it, maybe it's even a sin or something they did wrong, that they're just going, hey, is everything all right? Oh, yeah, I just did this. No, it takes time to sit there and listen and ask the right questions and be there to let them know, you know, look, you could talk to me. Hey, look, you know, I'm here for you. You know, sometimes by bringing this out, it can make you feel better. You know, so, you know, there's a way to do that, and it takes time. It's not just, hey, is everything okay? No, and the person's blurting out their life story there. No, it doesn't work that way. So we have to make sure that we are discerning the heart of the mentee to be able to give wisdom for him to grow. Philippians 2 and verse 4 says, let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each one also be mindful of the things of his neighbor. So in a world where everybody is so self-focused, where everybody actually does have a lot of problems going on, it's very hard to give enough of ourselves to mentor somebody else. But that really true joy in life, like it says, it's greater to give than to receive. It is. And you will get, I can tell you somebody who's mentored for probably 40 years now, there is no greater joy in life than being a mentor, than to be able to give your life experience to somebody else and see them grow and see them flourish because of how you were able to help them. So, and the fruit that they bear, that's the greatest part, to see somebody successful and bearing fruit and having good families. So mentoring takes time. It's not a one-off process. You know, like I said, encouraging, helping could be a one-off thing. Come to my house on Sunday and help me, you know, cut this tree down or whatever, you know, clean the gutters. That's fine. But mentoring is not that. Mentoring is not a one-off process. The Apostle Paul spending years, sometimes in places, years to mentor new disciples. Acts 15 and verse 35. Acts 15 and verse 35. And Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and announcing the good news and the word of Elohim with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Indeed, having turned back, let us look after our brothers throughout every city in which we announce the word of Elohim, how they're holding up." So not only did they spend years sometimes laying the foundation and planting the seeds and mentoring, they even, and this is a time again when no trains, you know, no cars, no airplanes, that they went back. You know, look how many times Paul suffered, even shipwrecked and all this other stuff. And they went back to places because that's what mentoring is. Mentoring is following through with it, right? So it takes time and you have to continue with it. And like I said, our legacy is what we give to others, not what we have acquired. So we're living in a world where people think legacy is what they have. You know, somebody will have a bunch of letters at the end of his name, PhD, and this and that, and think that that's accomplishments in life. And it is to a degree, right? Well, it is to a degree because they got a degree. But it's also what they're doing from there. So just getting degrees to make a lot of money is not really that much of a degree. It's somewhat of an accomplishment, right? Because you did do something. But the greater accomplishment is when you're doing it for other people, right? You become a doctor to help other people to save life. You know, you become a counselor because you could help other people and their things. It's not just that you're doing something and getting a degree simply to make a lot of money for yourself. So the Apostle Paul and also Barnabas went back. They went back to those they mentored in faith. Acts 20 in verse 17 through 21. Acts 20 in verse 17 through 21. It says, in sending to Ephesus from Miletus, he called for the elders of the congregation, talking about the Apostle Paul. And when they came to him, he said to him, "You understand from the first day in which I set foot in Asia, how I was with you all the time, serving our master with all humility and many tears and trials happening to me by the plots of the Jews, as I kept nothing back of what is profitable, so as not to tell you and to teach you publicly and from house to house, earnestly testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward Elohim and faith toward our Master Yeshua Messiah." So, wow. So he's saying, I laid it all on the table. I left nothing back. I was there. He followed. He came. He helped in every way he could. Verse 21. Drop down to verse 28. And then he says, "Then take heed to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit placed you as overseers to shepherd the congregation of Yahweh, which he purchased through his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock," right? Not everybody's going to have a right attitude toward mentoring. There's going to be people there that have a selfish, evil motive. "And out of you yourself will rise up men speaking perverted things in order to draw away disciples after themselves." We see it 2,000 years later. "Because of this, watch, remembering that I did not cease admonishing each one with tears night and day for 3 years. And now I commend you to Elohim and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all the saints," right? So he's doing mentoring. He's saying that. Look at verse 35. "I showed you all things that working in this way, we ought to help those being weak and to remember the words of the Master Yeshua that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So here it is. The Apostle Paul was, like I said, sometimes years in places helping, mentoring, and the last thing I want to go into is it's important as mentors that we help celebrate successes. So it's not just a thing of, you know, like I said, a ritualistic ABC telling people, even if that works, even if you have the right information, it's about building relationships and friendships. And part of that is celebrating successes. So one thing I've seen as a teacher and a mentor and as the senior elder of the congregation for so many years is I've seen that there's a lot of people out there that are really, really talented and smart. And the only reason they're not accomplishing more is they have an inability that they don't feel they can do it. So it's they have low self-confidence, you know, in certain things. And sometimes as a mentor, just helping people and giving them encouragement in what you know they can do helps them to get over that. And wow, it's amazing what people can accomplish after that. And, you know, most of our elders in our congregation came through the Bible school. That's how they became an elder, by coming that way. Not all of them. There are people that were elders when they came. There are congregations that joined us already. But a lot of them were trained that way. And even the ones that were already elders, especially senior elders, they all have come to the Bible school, you know, because they wanted to be mentored. They wanted to learn. And it's like getting them, helping them over the top. So we have to, as mentors, we should always strive to celebrate successes of the people that we're guiding and acknowledging milestones, no matter how small, because it helps to give motivation. So let's say somebody is trying to lose weight. And like I always say, if that's your goal and you want to lose 50 pounds, you got to lose 5 pounds before you lose 50 pounds. So forget the 50. Let's get to the five. Let's look at this. And here it was. If in a week you lost 2 pounds, wow, that's a big deal. Okay, you still got 48 to go, but you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. Now all you have to do is follow the pattern you did to lose those two and continue to do that. You know, it might take you 6 months, but that's a good thing. You know, because the quicker you lose weight or the quicker you gain weight, usually it doesn't stay. It's when you do it over a long period of time that, you know, you'll establish that. So by helping, acknowledging milestones with people and giving them encouragement, you know, you don't see it because people won't always tell you that. They won't tell you when they feel discouraged. They won't tell you where they're ready to quit because they might feel embarrassed by it. But by giving that little bit of encouragement, wow, you might be getting them over a hump that they would have never got over. So it reminds each of us that achievement is a reflection of Yahweh's faithfulness in their lives. And we want to keep reminding them of that. This practice not only encourages growth, but establishes a sense of joy and community in our mentoring relationships. So it's a great way that you could help the people and help them. And you want to make sure you're celebrating in those successes. You know, it's really, really, really important. It's like I said, 1 Corinthians 12, we are one body, right? We are one body, and as one succeeds, we all succeed. 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, says, even as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Messiah. Verse 25, that there not be division in the body, but that the members might have the same care for one another. And if one member is in pain, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's why praise Yahweh, you know, like there's not a lot of good things for the technology today, but there is some, right? Our website is a product of technology. Being able to put the prayer requests on the website that brethren all throughout the world, you know, can go and put their prayer requests on that website, and that we can pray for each other and encourage each other and help each other through the trials that many congregations are going through right now. It is such a blessing. So we have to have the team mindset that we're one body. You know, we're all one body and together. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Philippians 1, 3 through 5 says, I thank my Elohim for your steady remembrance of me, always in my every prayer on your behalf, making my prayer with joy over your fellowship in the good news from the very first day until now, right? So, wow. You think that it didn't mean a lot to Paul for the people, but he says it over and over and over. And at one point, in one of the letters, he even says they were so discouraged, they were almost at the point of death, that they wanted to die because of how bad things were going. But by the brethren praying for them and encouraging them, it helped them to get through it. So, Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and how good is a word in the right timing. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and how good is a word in its right timing, right? So sometimes that inspired word by the Ruach that Yahweh gives us to give to somebody else, how wonderful is that? And mentoring is fulfilling to see the people you're working with growing and bearing fruit. It is, like I said, one of the most fulfilling things you'll have in your life, to be able to help people to get to that next level. Last scripture here is Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. And says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of Elohim to you, considering the completeness of their works, imitate their faith. So I do want to mention as this program goes out, and we're doing this more in the congregation, that, you know, a lot of what I'm talking to is the mentor, how to mentor and how to pick mentees and this and that. But the mentees also need to show appreciation to those who are mentoring them, because like I said, it takes a lot of time, effort, energy, resources. It is a big commitment on the time of a mentor. It's not a little commitment. And once they make that, like I said, they're committed to that. So the mentee should also be showing appreciation for what is being done for him. You know, sometimes even a little card sometimes can just help to show somebody that you appreciate something they're doing. But our whole calling is about mentoring. Like I said, the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20 is all about mentoring. In end time commercial Babylon, people are focused on what? They're focused on numbers and money and think success is simply how many people came to a meeting or bought a CD, right? And that's the Christian churches out there. Success is if you have 10,000 people in the audience. And what I say is if you have 10,000 people in the audience, you're probably not saying the hard words you need to. So success is not the way commercial Babylon has it. It's not how many CDs you're selling. It's not how many clicks you have or how many thumbs up or likes and all this other silliness they put there that people are being paid by these YouTube and these different outlets for that. But real success can only come by spending time to mentor people, spending time with them, building relationships the way that Yahweh said in Scripture, nurturing them in the truth, encouraging them to grow in faith. That's what real success is. And like it says, like better is 1,000 days, better is one day in your house than 1,000 days without. And the same thing I say, better is one true person that's mentored, that is going to bear fruit, than 1,000 people that can come to a feast or come to a seminar that are just, you know, getting an emotional experience and ain't going to change from there. So Satan is counterfeiting the true biblical mentoring for the marketing in commercial Babylon. And unfortunately, people are falling for it because that's the world we live in today. People are not looking to take the time to learn, to mentor. They're just looking for quick fixes. Mentoring others is a beautiful and rewarding experience woven deep within our faith. Each aspect of mentorship, from building relationships to celebrating successes, plays a significant role in cultivating a thriving connection rooted in Yahweh's love. As we explore the value of wisdom, encouragement, and accountability, we can grow together in our faith journey while empowering those around us. And that's what's important. Let us take the opportunity to embody the essence of mentoring, nurturing both ourselves and others along the way. So, like I said, I'm going to be helping the congregations to be building programs in this. I'm putting a brand new program at the school for mentoring, Yahweh willing, for this coming next year when we do the next school in about a year. And I really, 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 really hope that all the brethren, you know, embrace this because it's a great way to bear fruit and it's a great way to build your legacy to the next generation. Yahweh bless. Shabbat.